to me, all you weary ones, come and rest. Come unto me, you heavy laden, and rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. Come to me, you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. Come to me, you will find a rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. Come unto me, oh come, oh come to me. Come, you heavy laden, come, you weary ones, come. Come one and all unto me.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to to thee, whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God. I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. All right.
Well, hey, everybody. As always, good to be with you whenever, wherever, however you find yourself today as we turn the page on another month, October and autumn now in full swing. And I hope this finds you doing well as we continue to explore what is this uncommon gospel, a gospel, as we noted 4 weeks ago, a gospel that is not so much unexpected, and yet it was surprising, out of the ordinary, bewildering, a gospel, as we have seen, that takes hold of creation, the entirety of the cosmos, light and life, the fullness of humanity, with all of our disappointments and setbacks and all of the hardships and struggles, our sin, our suffering. And it's in the midst of that reality we find this absolutely surprising, bewildering, out of the ordinary, uncommon gospel come to life. And it looks a lot like justice, compassion, and generosity. And we can think back to last week. In a world that aims toward power and position and prestige, and Mary says, yeah, about that, you have it all upside down. It's in the birth of Jesus, right, that God, he is turning it all upside right. The life of Jesus speaks to this reality all over the Gospels. We read of the inbreaking of the age to come right here and now with us. What is, in Jesus' language, the coming of the kingdom of God? In fact, if we were to sum up the central message of Jesus, and we can think of somewhat like playing that game, that word association, where, for example, the teacher or leader, the instructor says a word, maybe she says bird, and so you respond saying the first thing that comes to mind. Maybe you think dove or eagle or parrot. Maybe you think wings or we're flying, right? Word association, whatever that word or idea brings to mind. And in the same way, if we were to consider the central message of Jesus, his life, his teachings, maybe we think salvation or redemption, right? Word association. Maybe we think crucifixion or the cross. Maybe it's resurrection. Maybe we think of discipleship or healing or profoundly and simply love. And yes, that is all true. And yet, if we were to sum up the central message, if we were to pack it all together, boil it down, if we were to gather it all up, the central message of Jesus, in his own words, it is more than anything else, it is the kingdom. The kingdom of God, or the synonymous phrase, the kingdom of heaven. The phrase kingdom of God, along with that synonymous phrase, kingdom of heaven, those phrases make over 100 appearances in the New Testament. And those are just the direct references. In Luke chapter 4, we read that Jesus has healed Peter's mother-in-law along with many others who had been ill. And then having left that home, Jesus, 4 and 42, Luke chapter 4, verse 42, we read, at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them, verse 43, but he said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. The very purpose, Jesus says, for which I came is to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. We read the same testimony in Mark and then from Matthew chapter 4, and this is the verse where I want to gather today. Matthew 4, verse 17, we read, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, has come near. Later in Matthew 9 and 35, Jesus, we read, went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues. And what was he teaching? Well, it says, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. So, not only over 100 direct references to kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, but the whole of Jesus' teaching, that is why I was sent, right? To proclaim, to preach the kingdom. Point being, the central theme, if we were to, again, sum it all up, pack it all together, boil it down, gather it up, the core, the center, the heartbeat of the Jesus message in word and deed, the central message is word association, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. Not suggesting that everything else is less important, of less value. In fact, just the opposite. It is in the way of the kingdom that everything else is given importance, that everything else is given value. The deeper meaning, our deeper meaning, is found in the centrality, the heartbeat of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Again, Matthew 4, 17, we read, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Now we have touched on the kingdom a number of times over the years, most notably, perhaps, in the Gospel of Mark, and more recently in what was called the Sermon on the Mount. That was back in 2017. But even more than that, really, we explore the kingdom of God every time we open our Bibles, right? We read of this upside right way of being, of doing life and relationships together. It's in the midst of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, this uncommon gospel is revealed. Now, to kind of flesh this out for today, parse this out, chapter 4, verse 17, Matthew opens with the phrase, from that time on. From that time on comes to us from the Greek word tote, which embraces or holds to this idea of concurrent events, of being simultaneous, this reality of happening at the same time. And specifically here, this refers back to the imprisonment of John. In Mark's gospel, he spells it out. He says, after John was put in prison, here we read in Matthew, from that time on, either way, it is important because contextually, it connects the central message of Jesus to the very often and very real, difficult, painful stuff of life. And we need to get that. In another sense, we could say it does not allow us to isolate or insulate our faith from the very real struggles we all face. They're not exclusive of one another. For Jesus, it was in the midst of hearing John is now in prison. What is in Matthew's words, from that time on, what is tote, which is a statement about John's condition, right? John was physically in prison. But more than that, if we slide beneath the surface, there is this whole gut-wrenching tragedy, all sorts of heartbreak. Because simultaneous to that reality is the one called Herod. The one who last week I called neurotic, cruel, brutal. Herod was the one who divorces his first wife, then takes his sister-in-law, who is his brother Philip's wife, Herodias. He takes her and marries her. Then war breaks out between Herod and his former father-in-law. And if that is not enough, Herod's stepdaughter then dances erotically for Herod at a birthday party, revealing these hints of incestuous sort of lust. And in the end of this train wreck, Herod has John beheaded. From that time on, writes Matthew, meaning simultaneous with, effectively connecting the heartbeat of Jesus, his central message, right, aka the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, to the very often and real and difficult, painful experiences of life. Point being, there's all sorts of brokenness and betrayal. There's conflict and violence and lust. There's COVID and racism and fires. And in the midst of all that, in the midst of all the stuff that surrounds us, you and me, all the stuff that has taken hold that weighs you down, in the midst of all that stuff, from that time on, Jesus, we read, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, has come near." Noting here that to proclaim comes to us from the Greek word keruso, meaning to proclaim or to preach. It's this idea of a herald who would go out and make an announcement, would share the news of the day. Now, we miss this, but to the first century Jewish listener, which is the bent here of Matthew's audience, and what was in that day a large contingent of Jesus' followers, upon hearing this, they would have picked up on what is this reference here to the prophet Isaiah, and specifically the opening line, Isaiah 61, where it says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to keruso, to preach, to proclaim good news to the poor." He goes on, "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to keruso, to proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners." And then again, verse 2, keruso, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, we also read of this in Mark's gospel and Luke chapter 4. Jesus, we read, comes out of the wilderness, returns to Galilee, goes into the synagogue, where he opens to this exact passage in Isaiah 61. So not only do we find the kingdom of God, aka the central message of Jesus, connected to the difficult, painful stuff of life, we also find it connected to a whole new way of being, namely Isaiah 61, a whole new way of being that has now come, is now here in Jesus. And in fact, Jesus goes on to announce, Luke 4:21, this scripture, meaning Isaiah 61, is now fulfilled, translated from pleroo, to finish or to complete. But get this, it carries the idea of showing the true meaning, providing the real significance, meaning the heartbeat of Jesus, the central message of Jesus, the heartbeat of Jesus, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, finds expression in what I call the Isaiah 61 life. Right, Isaiah 61, I-61, what is a completely upside right, surprising, out of the ordinary, uncommon expression, where the poor are not trampled on, but the poor receive good news. Where the brokenhearted aren't pushed to the margins, but experience healing and wholeness. Where those in bondage to all sorts of stuff gain a new sense of freedom. Where those who are imprisoned are finding hope, finding release. A whole new reality bursting forth in the midst of this one. And then Jesus says, repent, meaning you are invited. The word repent in the Greek, it is metanoeo, meaning to change one's mind or to think differently. It's this idea of engaging life in a whole new way. Meaning in a world where the paradigm of power plays out on the fields of preference, on the fields of oppression and injustice. In the midst of all that stuff, the inequality and prejudice and bias, Jesus offers this whole new way, this whole new reality bursting forth here and now. And he invites us to choose it, right? To engage life in a whole new way. For, Jesus continues, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, noting kingdom is the Greek word basileia, what in the first century referred to one's rule and one's reign. We can think of a king here, right? Having authority, having dominion. Author Dallas Willard, he writes, the kingdom of God is present wherever what God wants done is done. Scholar Graham Goldsworthy, he puts it like this, the kingdom of God is God's people in God's place under God's rule. scholar Anthony Hokima, he describes the kingdom of God as the reign of God dynamically active in human history through Jesus Christ. Perhaps most informative is, and you might remember this from Matthew 6, what is known as the Lord's Prayer. It's there that we read the prayer Jesus taught, what reads in part, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." What is effectively called parallelism. What is two ways of saying the same thing, meaning that the kingdom is present wherever what God wants done is done. And then on earth, we read, on earth as it is in heaven. Meaning right where we live, on and in and around your life and mine as it is in heaven. As it is in the fullness of God's heart, as it is in love and compassion and care and generosity from that time on, in the midst of all of the stuff of life, the struggles, the challenges, the brokenness, the heartache, in the midst of all of that, Jesus began to preach, to proclaim. Think Isaiah 61, repent, think about life, engage life in a whole new way for the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, not a place, not a location, but wherever the heart of God is expressed. And then we read, has come near. Some translations read, is at hand or is near. It carries the idea of approaching or arriving. It is imminent, within reach. It is right in front of your face. You could say brushing up against your cheek. And in Luke 17:21, we are told it is right here, right now, in our midst. And so here comes Jesus in the midst of the hard stuff of life. Repent, think about, engage life in a whole new way. It is here, the time is now, to bring this kingdom life to bear. To bring the kingdom, not a place, not a location, not someplace you go when you die, but a way of being in the world here and now, a way of doing life and relationships on earth as it is in heaven, meaning the kingdom of God is here and now in our midst, wherever, whenever the poor receive good news. The kingdom of God is here and now in our midst, in those moments when the brokenhearted find comfort and healing. The kingdom of God is here and now in our midst, whenever those in bondage to all sorts of stuff discover a freedom. The kingdom of God is here and now in our midst, wherever, whenever those who are imprisoned find release. The kingdom of God is here and now in our midst. We could say every time the hungry receive something to eat, whenever the thirsty receive something to drink, every day that a stranger, an outsider is invited in, each moment where the naked are clothed and sheltered, whenever the sick are looked after and cared for, every time the prisoner is shown dignity and respect. The kingdom of God is here and now in our midst, whenever and wherever we travel. I-61, think God's highway. Isaiah 61, the kingdom of God is here and now in our midst, with every offer of compassion, with every act of generosity, every effort of care, with every gift of presence, CE, not TS, with every movement of sacrifice, with every touch of love. The kingdom of God is here and now in our midst. That is the central message. That is the heartbeat of Jesus. The central theme of the entire biblical narrative, the heartbeat of Jesus. Is it the heartbeat of your life and mine? We could ask, is it the central activity of our life as a community? We could ask, maybe does my attitude toward others reflect the way of this kingdom? Reflect the way of this Jesus message? Reflect the heartbeat of Jesus? Do my activities express the kingdom life on earth as it is in heaven? We could ask it like this, do I live Isaiah 61? Right? Assuring with the other, care, compassion, time, energy, inconvenience. do I live Isaiah 61? Or to put it another way, do we travel God's kingdom highway? Do we travel I-61? Do we live Isaiah 61? Do we travel I-61? And maybe with that, then we could ask, what needs to change that I might live more fully the Isaiah 61 life? Right? What needs to change that I might live more fully? What needs to change in me that I might live more fully the Isaiah 61 life? And we can think, right, good news to the poor, binding up the brokenhearted, proclaiming freedom, release from darkness. Again, what is the kind of sharing with the other? Care, compassion, time, energy, inconvenience, offering it all up. What might it look like for us to be an Isaiah 61 church? To bring the kingdom of God to bear, right? To bring the Jesus message, to bring Isaiah 61, to bring the heartbeat of Jesus to bear in Tigard, in Southwest Portland, as it is in heaven. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And with that, think about and engage life differently for this kingdom of God, I-61, heartbeat of Jesus, way of life. It is here and now in your midst. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word to us. Thank you for sharing with us your heart through the life and teachings of Jesus. Thank you for the beating of his heart for all those who are in need. Today and each day, may our hearts now beat with yours. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.